Hi, this is Brian Reynolds, and you're listening to the Run to the Top podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is Coach Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner, back with you for another great interview on the Run to the Top podcast, brought to you by Runners Connect. A few weeks ago, I brought you an interview with Tyler Andrews, the elite ultra marathoner trying to break the treadmill world record in the 100K. He did break it, by the way. Through Tyler, I was introduced to another amazing runner with a unique story that I know you will love, and that is Brian Reynolds. Brian is a double amputee from contracting a rare form of meningitis when he was a small child. Fast forward to today, and he's now a world record holder in several running distances, despite not getting into running until after college. Brian actually started off as a power lifter, being able to deadlift 485 pounds while only weighing 135 himself. At that point in his life, he hardly even walked much, let alone run. Brian was simply convinced that running was not something that was possible for him. So, how did all that change? Brian will tell the story of how deciding to take on a fundraising challenge in the Grand Canyon dramatically changed his life. He found a new love in hiking and endurance, which eventually sparked the idea of running. Not that it was easy, as the prosthetic legs he walked in caused terrible pain when he started to run. But he did it anyway, and 3 weeks after he ran his first mile, he ran his first marathon. And by the way, he does not recommend you follow that training plan. I'll let Brian tell you the rest of the story in his own words, because it's truly fascinating and inspiring. Oh, and another little bonus, Brian also works for the non-alcoholic brewing company, Athletic Brewing, that is just exploding right now. While they are not an official sponsor of the Run to the Top, they have generously offered to give anyone listening a discount code to get 15% off your order. The code is only good until August 10th, 2020, and I'll tell you what it is at the end of the show and put it in the show notes. And now, here's my conversation with Brian Reynolds. Welcome to the Run to the Top, Brian.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
You have an amazing story of starting off in weightlifting and then transitioning to endurance running. Your accomplishments would be interesting in their own right, but they are even more fascinating because you are a double amputee. Can you talk about your history, beginning with how you lost your lower legs as a child?
Sure. We'll start from when I was born. I was born with a compromised immune system, so I was very sick growing up in general. But when I was four, I contracted a rare form of meningitis called meningococcemia. And the result of that was a double amputation of my legs below the knee.
Wow. And how was that for your family?
It was definitely a crazy time period for them. While I was in the hospital, my baby brother was actually born. So my mom was in the hospital next to us as I was lying in the hospital near death. And when my sister was born, she had transposition of the great vessels of the heart. So she had open heart surgery when she was about 16 days old. So it was a very crazy 4-ish years for my family.
Oh my goodness. And so you really don't remember a time before this happened, I imagine.
Little bits and pieces, but for the most part, no. Right before I got sick and got the amputation, my foot was actually broken. So I was in a cast for a few months.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
It's kind of like getting used to not having a foot.
So were you into sports and activities right away, or did something happen later in life?
I played in the town basketball leagues and baseball leagues and stuff, but nothing really crazy. And after I went to high school and those leagues no longer existed, I didn't do much in the way of team sports at all. My mom signed me up for the gym when I was 12 going on 13, basically right before freshman year of high school. And insisted that I go to the gym with her trainer and her every morning. I think it was a 5 a.m. appointment. So you can imagine a 13-year-old was not very happy to be at the gym at 5 in the morning. But turns out it was the start of something special.
Yeah. Well, tell us what happened after that.
I still went to the gym through high school. It was nothing very crazy. It wasn't until I got to college that I found powerlifting. And I took to powerlifting pretty quickly. I went into college very skinny, perhaps underweight, 18-year-old, and I came out extremely built, or I guess you could say jacked. I only weighed 135 pounds, but it was just pure muscle at that point.
Wow. And I read that you could deadlift 485 pounds. Is that right?
Yeah, that was my final lift before I kind of turned away from the heavy powerlifting. I deadlifted 485 and I bench pressed 300, weighing, it was like 135, 136.
That is incredible. What did you like most out of weightlifting? What did it do for you besides, you know, get you ripped and jacked?
Just like running, it was kind of competing against myself. How high could I go? How heavy could I lift? So it was more of a self-competition than anything. And it was definitely filling that void of sports that I wasn't getting anywhere else at this point in my life. I was still under the assumption that walking more than one block as an amputee was just not worth it.
Yeah. What were the challenges of walking at that point?
I had prosthetics that weren't fitting me as well as they should have. And I guess I didn't know any better as far as maybe I should find a different prosthetist that would work better for me personally. You know, there's not a one size fits all with prosthetists. So what works for me now might not work for somebody else, even though it works really well for me. And the prosthetist that I was with at that point just wasn't able to make legs that were up to my activity level. A lot of amputees throughout the country are not very high functioning, so there's very little that needs to be thought of as far as how much they ambulate around, but I was very active, so it was constantly creating sores and cuts on my legs. So beyond my stuff at the gym, I just didn't really want to walk more than a few blocks at a time.
So how did that all change for you?
It was not long after college. I joined a charity organization called Team in Training that raises money for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. I was just out of college, not really sure what to do with myself. And they have these really awesome endurance events where you raise money for a fantastic organization. And at the end of it, you do some sort of event, whether it be a running event or a swimming event or a biking event. In my case, I chose hiking. And at the end of it, me and my team of 11 or 12 people, we went and hiked in the Grand Canyon. And it was definitely, for me, one of the hardest things I've ever done, going from not really walking more than a block here and there to, I think it was a 16 or 17 mile hike in the Grand Canyon. We went down to the Tonto Plateau and then across it and back up the other side. It was a very, very grueling day for me. Especially because I was still pretty deep into powerlifting at the time. But over like 4 or 5 months of training with them, I kind of got the endurance bug and realized that, you know, there might be a way that I can do this.
So did you have new prosthetics at the time, or were you,
I did
were
not.
You on your old ones?
I
oh
my
not. Gosh.
I was on my old ones.
So I imagine your legs were just a mess every day.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was constant open skin infections, and it didn't get really bad during that hiking, but it was within a year after that I decided to try running. And as I tried running on one, legs that didn't fit me, but also two legs that weren't made for running, I ran on them for a few months, and maybe almost a year, I guess, on those legs I ran, and it was constant skin torn apart. I was basically gluing my skin back together. There were points in time where you could see the bone underneath.
Oh my God. Oh my God. Why didn't you quit? Most people would have quit at this point. Like what was inside your head that made you want to keep going through all that pain?
I don't even know what was inside my head except just a determination to make it happen for once and see if I could do it. We were kind of at the beginning of social media and Instagram at that point, so I was starting to see other amputees that were doing it, and it was like the first real shock that, oh, if other amputees are doing it, I guess I could too. And those first forays into running were much more difficult than it would be, I think, for most people. You know, for a week every day on the treadmill, I ran 1 minute, and then for a week I ran 2 minutes, and then 3 minutes, etc. It took me 8 to 10 weeks to even hit a mile. And through all of that, it was figuring out how to tend all these cuts and blisters and tears in my legs.
So when did you finally get new prosthetics that didn't cause all these problems?
Actually, through team and training, on one of the events I did in Zion National Park, I met a woman on top who ended up being my wife, and moved down to New Jersey. And when I moved to New Jersey, it just necessitated that I find a new prosthetist. And the prosthetist that I stumbled across, which is a Step Ahead Prosthetics out in Long Island, they happen to be one of the best sports prosthetists in the entire world. People come from everywhere for them. And when I walked in there and he said, what do you want to do? And I said, I want to be the best runner an amputee can be. And he said, we can make that happen. And I got my first running blades at the end of 2013. And I ran a marathon a few weeks later.
Wow. A marathon a few weeks later. Yeah. Was that a good idea?
It was a terrible idea, but I got there.
Yeah. Tell me what that first marathon was like.
Like pretty much everyone else, it went pretty well until mile 20.
Yeah.
And we were in Disney doing it. And not only are you hitting that 20-mile crash, but there was also an off-ramp off a highway that you had to go up. And because it's Florida, it was pretty banked to deal with like flooding and stuff like that. And I was so new to prosthetic blades that I could not figure out how to get up the hill.
Oh, no.
So I had been running pretty well up to that point. I think I was on like a 3:55 pace, but I could not figure out how to get up that hill. It was actually the point in the Disney Marathon where the commandos have that section of it. And I actually had to hold one of their shoulders to get up the hill.
Oh, wow.
I just couldn't figure out the balance. And by the time I got to the top of what is not a very big hill at all, it kind of had destroyed my mental confidence a little bit. So I finished in 4.5 hours, but that last 6 miles was a slog.
Yeah, I bet. I bet. And how sore were you afterward?
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be completely honest. Like, we went to the parks for the next 2 days and I was able to walk around.
Yeah. Well, good.
Yeah.
Well, you've made a lot of progress since that first marathon. You actually broke the world record at the time for a double amputee in the marathon with a 3:03 in Chicago. Can you talk about your progress and how you went from 4.5 hours to almost 3 hours?
So after I finished that marathon, I didn't think too much about running anymore. It was kind of like I checked off that bucket list item of running a marathon. So for about 2.5 years or so after that, I ran here and there, but no serious training at all. It wasn't until the summer of 2016 that there was a bunch of us in the gym fooling around on the treadmill, seeing how fast we could run a mile. And I ended up running a 4:48 mile on the treadmill.
Wow.
Off of really not much training at all. You know, it was like 10 miles a month.
Wow.
So that was kind of like when the first light bulb hit that, you know, I could actually potentially have some good running career in me. But I was still very big upper body wise at that point. I had still been lifting a lot. So it was definitely a transition of starting to train a lot more in that back half of 2016. I ran 2 marathons in 2017 as I was learning how to adapt to those 40 and 50 plus mile weeks. And it was 2017 in Chicago was when I first set the world record for amputees. I ran 3:06 in that marathon, and it was completely shocking to me. I You know, it was like a 22-minute PR. I didn't know what the records were for amputees. There were no thoughts of that or anything. Nobody even told me. I found it on Instagram a few days later.
Oh, wow.
Which was very shocking to me. And my time in Chicago in 2017 allowed me to compete in the World Para Athletic Championship in London in 2018, which is the London Marathon. And it was a very hot day there, so I didn't do very well at all. But in 2018 for the Chicago Marathon, like you said, I managed to best my own PR, which made it another world record. And I actually tripped at mile 22 and got a concussion.
Oh my goodness.
During the race. So it wasn't exactly the time I was hoping for, but somehow it was still a PR.
Wow, that is amazing. So what have you done as far as training? Have you gotten a coach, or how have you really managed to lower your time so much?
Yeah, so because of the prosthetics, I can't train at the same volume of running as most higher level marathoners would. I've experimented with the 75 to 90 miles a week, and I do well with it for 5 or 6 weeks, and then inevitably something goes drastically wrong with my legs. So because of that, I've moved away from the traditional type of run coach, and I now work with a triathlon-based coach. It's City Coach in New York City. Jonathan Kane is the head coach there, and the two of us have managed to work out some pretty crazy schedules between running workouts, mixed in with biking workouts and swimming workouts. And even though I don't lift heavy anymore, I still do the same type of strength exercise I did during powerlifting. But it's really been an interesting journey in the past year and a half, I guess almost 2 years, that I've been with Jonathan, figuring out what is the perfect level of running for me to be at to get that optimal fitness without injuring myself, and then how to work in all the cross training just to fine tune everything. So, you know, some weeks I'm biking as much as 200 to 230 miles a week, and then I'm maintaining as a base about 40 to 45 miles a week of running, and during marathon training somewhere in the 55 to 60.
Okay.
And then swimming, I'll swim 3 or 4 days a week as well. Okay. Obviously not right now during COVID, but
yeah.
In general, yeah.
Well, I did want to ask you, so how has your training changed since the pandemic?
Well, swimming's been cut out, so I've been doing a lot of extra biking. Mm-hmm. And there's no more run groups, so it's a lot of solo running at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning for me.
Right.
I'm still getting the same, if not more, volume, with no specific races to train for anymore. There's no specific peak to look for. So it's really just making sure I maintain the same exact consistency week in, week out.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's hard for all of us these days, is figuring out a way to stay motivated without a race, without that carrot, without that thing to look forward to. Mm-hmm. How do you have any tips for runners that are struggling right now with motivation with no races?
I've personally been making my own events up. I did my own marathon back in April. I just did a neighborhood marathon. So I put a table outside my house and I ran 17 and a half loops of my neighborhood until I hit the marathon.
Oh my goodness.
So I did that. It was technically a PR. I ran 2:59.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. And then just 2 weeks ago, decided I was going to go for the amputee treadmill world record on the 5K.
How'd that go?
It was good. I beat my own record by 5 seconds. So,
oh, wow. Was it the world record?
For amputees, there's no official records kept. So I guess the better term is world's best
okay.
known time.
And so what did you end up getting?
16:44.
Wow. That's fast.
Yeah,
good for you.
It's on a treadmill, so I know it's like a little bit easier than running outside, but I was still pretty happy given the fact that I'm not really doing specific workouts for that right now.
Yeah.
But I have a scattering of events coming up that are keeping me fairly motivated. As part of my company is doing a cross-country relay this year. this summer in August, and I'm signed up for like 333 miles on the bike. So,
oh wow! It's virtual.
No, it's across the country.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so I'm signed up for I think Cleveland to Chicago.
Oh my goodness!
Most of my bike training is on the trainer, so it's going to be fairly interesting.
Yeah, I bet. Well, let's talk about your company. You work for Athletic Brewing, and that is a non-alcoholic beer company that is becoming super popular lately.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about the company and what you do there?
Sure. During training cycles, I don't drink at all anything. So I really, really love beer, but my training cycles go for months at a time, and then I take like a week or two off before they start again. So it was kind of something that I wasn't drinking at all, basically. And back in December, I happened to stumble across Athletic. Knowing what other non-alcoholic beers taste like, I wasn't too enthusiastic about it. But with plenty of persuasion from my brother, I decided to try them, and I was like, wow, this is actually pretty good. I guess, for lack of a better phrase, like, it tastes like the real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I became an ambassador for them, and then actually joined their pro team. And just because I was on the email list, I saw that they had a job opening in New Jersey. And I was like, well, I mean, it seems like a really cool company. I may as well apply. And actually got the job. So now I am one of the territory sales managers for New Jersey, and then a few of the counties in New York State. I've only been with them now like 4 or 5 weeks, so it's very new for me.
Yeah. Well, the non-alcoholic beer industry has been really taking off, at least before the pandemic. I don't know how it's doing.
It's continued to boom through it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because I feel like people are drinking more, that they're mm-hmm. like home and bored and locked up, but not the case, huh?
No, it's been very, very busy, especially on the e-commerce side, because we can ship anywhere in the country.
Okay.
It really frees things up. But
yeah,
it's a perfect complement to the active lifestyle. You can train hard, enjoy those beers at the end of it, and not have any ill effects of that alcohol would normally bring to you.
Yeah. So what gave you the idea to not drink during training cycles?
I personally just noticed the difference between how I feel, like even having one beer and then having to wake up and run 20 plus miles in the morning, followed by a bike ride or something. I personally felt the effects of it. So I experimented here and there with not drinking for a few weeks. How did my training look versus then having beers here and there? And how did my training look? And there is a distinct difference for me,
mm-hmm.
a distinct difference in how difficult it is to wake up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
So for me, I do so much to make sure that I'm as fit as possible. Cutting out beer was just not even a slight issue for me. But now being able to drink it again is wonderful. So.
Yeah. I think for some people, it's easier to, you know, be black and white. So it's a lot easier to just say, hey, I'm not going to drink at all, than to say, oh, I'm going to have one, or I'm mm-hmm. going to have one every other day, or only on the weekends. It's kind of harder sometimes to moderate versus just say, okay, nope, I'm in training, I'm not going to do it at all. Do you find that's the case for you?
Yeah, I've never had a problem really cutting out alcohol like that. I was probably one of the only college guys that would be cutting out alcohol for months at a time as well. Like, I started this back in college when I was training for powerlifting.
Oh, okay.
And it didn't remotely bother me even through my college years.
Impressive.
So as I discovered running at the same level that I was basically lifting, it was a natural transition for me to just keep doing exactly what I've been doing.
Okay. So do you miss powerlifting at all? Any plans to maybe go back in that direction?
Oh, I miss it so much. Every time I have some sort of setback with my legs, it's like, well, I'm just going to stop running and lift heavy again.
Yeah. And what does the coach think about that?
I don't know if I voiced those things to him.
Well, you know, I'm always telling my my running athletes that they should be lifting heavy, but none of them lift heavy enough to be a power lifter or anything. So what is the line between too heavy and, you know, just right for an endurance athlete, you think?
I think it's probably different for everyone. You know, for me, I used to warm up at 135 pounds on bench press and go straight up from there. Now I just keep it at 135 and do sets of 10 or 12. I don't deadlift that much anymore. Just I found that my back can't handle the deadlifting pressure plus the running pressure. It's just too much for it. It could be just because of my running posture as an amputee is a little bit different. So I don't do much in the way of that. I rely on like the biking to strengthen my glutes and everything. And I don't know. It's so different for everyone what they can handle. So many runners are very light and small. So their definition of heavy is just going to be different.
Yeah. So how many days a week are you lifting when you're in running training?
Usually 3 to 4.
Okay.
I have a pretty decent home gym, so I've been able to keep going through all the COVID stuff, but I do miss being at an actual gym with all the different equipment and machines that you can use.
Yeah, I think a lot of us miss that, but it's starting to open up again. Is it in New Jersey?
Not gyms.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not sure what phase of the reopening they're supposed to be, but not yet.
Yeah. Yeah. So what is on your plans next? You have the bike relay. Any other running related goals that you have in the future?
Yeah, I'm going to be trying to go for the sub-16 in the 5K in the fall, in October. I'm setting up my own little track event with pacers and sponsors, etc. So,
oh, cool.
That's going to be my big early fall event, and I guess we'll have to see if there's races after that. If there's races, I'll probably try to go for the half marathon again. That's always been my favorite distance. It's like the blend between the speed and the endurance.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the 5K. I don't like that suffocating feeling.
No.
But
me neither.
Yeah, I do like working harder over that half marathon distance. I feel like I still haven't perfected the marathon distance.
So there's room for improvement in the future then.
I think there isn't a lot of room for improvement in the marathon.
Awesome. Well, we're getting to about the end of our time here, but I have a few questions that I ask everyone. The first one is, if you could go back and talk to yourself when you started running, what advice would you give yourself?
I'd love to give myself the advice to start running earlier. I don't know if it's advice when I first started running, but I keep wishing that I had started in high school or something and been on, like, had the chance to be on a high school track team and cross country team. I feel like that would have been a great benefit to me just to have a team environment versus me trying to figure out all of this solo.
Yeah.
When I first started running directly, I wish that I had thought to go to a prosthetist and get running legs instead of spending a year trying to tape my legs back together.
What is the greatest gift running has given you?
A freedom that I never thought I'd have. It's like I'm flying.
Ah, that's awesome. And finally, where can listeners connect with you?
I'm most active on Instagram. I'm at Brian Reynolds Runner. That's my prime social media that I use right now.
Well, awesome. I'm sure that lots of people are going to check out you and your fast legs on Instagram. Thank you so much, Brian, for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me. This was wonderful.
Best of luck in all your endeavors in the future.
Have a great day.
What an amazing story. I always find people that move from weightlifting to running or the other way around to be really fascinating because they're such different forms of exercise. But to do it on prosthetic legs is simply incredible. I'm also inspired by how Brian is still able to have goals and find meaning in his training during this time when it can be hard to focus and plan for the future. Brian's optimism and enthusiasm for the sport are truly contagious, and I'm looking forward to seeing how far he can go in the future. As promised, you can get a 15% discount at Athletic Brewing using the coupon code CLAIRE until August 10th, 2020. That's my name, Claire, C-L-A-I-R-E, for a 15% discount. If you haven't heard of Athletic before, this is the perfect time to check them out because if they aren't yet in a store near you, I promise you they will be soon. And that's it for the Run to the Top podcast for this week. I'm your host, Claire Bartholik, the Planted Runner, looking forward to another great interview next week. Have a great run today.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.